Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Welcome to the gardening program here on the Early Morning Sunday Show with me, Anisa Isaac, and my guest every Sunday morning, our horticulturalist here at the Durban University of Technology, is no other than Astrid Badenhorst. We welcome you to the show. Astrid, good morning.
Morning, Anisa, and morning to the listeners. How are you this morning?
I'm very, very well, and you?
I'm very good, thank you.
That's good. Okay, we're speaking about fertilizers today and the stuff that you can use, your household items that you can use to as fertilizer or to add to your fertilizer, to make up your fertilizer, right?
Yes, that's right, Anisha. And it's a more organic way of getting plant fertilizer into your garden or plant food. And talk about the things that you would normally throw away that plants you can actually turn into plant food. So you save money. Yes, you save money, and it's an organic way of doing things.
All right, and we're helping nature at the same time by recycling.
That is correct, yes. You also help nature in kind.
That's very, very good. I'm very glad to hear that. So what are we starting with today?
Seeing that we here in Durban, let's start with coconut water or coconut milk.
My favorite to drink.
So, if you use fresh coconuts, the coconut husk and that little bit of the white meat inside that you cannot get out, simply soak that for about 2 days to a week in water, and then you use that water to water your plants. It adds a lot of electrolytes and good soil bacteria to your soil. If you don't use that, if you have dry coconut powder, you can add 1 tablespoon of coconut powder to about 5 liters of water. And you can use it once a week or every second week. You can give it to your pot plants as well. But this mixture you do not store. You use it all at once. And the dry coconut powder you can actually store in a cool, dry place.
That's interesting.
Yes, and I've got so many more interesting things to add to that. When you boil vegetables, especially potatoes, normally you would just drain that water down the drain. It's actually very excellent for plants. So what you should do is you let that water cool down, and then you can water your plants with that boiled potato water. And again, you're saving water, you're recycling, and you're adding some very good nutrients to your plants.
Okay, so that's coconut. I'm really amazed by the coconut water and powder thing, because I never ever thought that you could actually, you know, put that. I know you can use the husk in the garden, but I never thought about using coconut water. Now, it's a very good hydrator, even for human beings. But I never thought you could actually do that for your garden.
Yes, definitely. As I said, it adds the electrolytes.
Yes.
So, yes, you can use that as a hydrator for your plants as well.
All right, so I'll make sure the next time I'm drinking some coconut water to keep some for my plants as well, so they can get some of the electrolytes that we so much love from. And coconut water is so refreshing. I can almost imagine how happy my plants are going to be.
As I said, the water that you boil your veggies in, especially potatoes, that you cool down, and instead of throwing it down the drain, you can actually add give it to your plants as well. So that is quite good as well.
Okay.
People that have fish tanks and clean up their fish tanks, the aquarium water, that is also an excellent food. It's very high in nitrogen. So instead of throwing the water out again, add it to your garden. It will make your plant leaves nice and green because of the high nitrogen content that you get in the aquarium water.
All right, so that's interesting. There's something, I mean, you know, usually if you're living like me, if you're living in an apartment, you generally throw these things down the toilet or into a sink somewhere. Instead, you could actually use it, especially from a small fish tank. I mean, that water can be put into your plants. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Especially when we have those restrictions placed on us. We forget about that.
Yes, yes. Despite some of the rain that we had, we must remember the South Africa is a water scarce country, and every bit of water we can save will go a long way.
Absolutely.
Bring out your fish tank water, rather give it to your plants.
Yeah. All right, so we've got coconut husks as well as the powder, and we've got potato or the vegetable skins. I'm not going to give that away because I use that for my soup.
You use it for your soup.
Yeah, I do the basis of your soup is stock.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, so okay, maybe I'll share.
Well, I'm from Cape Town. In summer, we like to make potato salad. And when you boil the potatoes for the potato salad, you normally boil it in a big pot of water. And then we drain that water, and normally you just drain it. You use drain it down the drain, and off it goes. But what you should do is actually to keep that excess water after boiling your potatoes, and cool it down and use that water in your garden or in your pot plants.
Okay, then that I can do, but in winter I'm not sharing my stock.
Luckily we're moving towards summer.
All right, yeah. So we've got the vet skins. What else?
The aquarium water, the fish tank water. It gets even stranger. Matches is a good source of magnesium.
Wow.
So you can just, when you plant some plants, and put a match stick with in the hole, or you can put a match stick in your pot plant, Anisha, seeing that you're living in a flat. You can just push a match stick in a pot plant, or you can soak the matches overnight in water. And then the magnesium will dissolve in the water, and you can apply it as a magnesium fertilizer to your plants.
Oh, wow. Okay. So there's a use for you. And is that matches that's been used, or your normal mat still in the, in its raw state?
The raw state will be better, but the used matches, you can do that as well.
For all those people who use matches, instead of throwing it away, just pop one or two into your pot plants, and you'll be giving them a little bit of a like a snack almost.
Yes, a magnesium snack.
Yeah. All right. Like you said, it's getting weirder. What else?
Epsom salts is not all that weird. We gardeners use a lot of Epsom salts. Also quite a good supply of magnesium and of sulfate, or sulfur. It adds magnesium and sulfur to your plant. It also boosts better root growth and chlorophyll in the plant. That is the green that gives the green, yes, and that is what promotes photosynthesis. So Epsom salts is always one of my favorites to use in the garden. And with the Epsom salts, you can dissolve a tablespoon of Epsom salts in about 5 liters of water and just water it in. You can also spray it on your leaves. Or you can put 1 tablespoon of Epsom salts around your plants and water it in. So it's excellent for citrus trees. It gives it that nice green color again when once your citrus trees are, all the leaves goes a bit yellow. And I've just used it yesterday on my Brunfelsia, yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
Yes.
But, the leaves also tended to go a bit yellowish, so I just put some Epsom salts around them and water it in. It's really one of my most favorite uses.
I think the one thing I remember about the yesterday, today, tomorrow plant is that lovely scent that it gives off, especially at night.
Oh, it's one of my favorite plants.
Yes.
Because of that scent. And what's very interesting, why it's called yesterday, today, and tomorrow, is when it starts blooming, the bloom is a deep purple color, and then it fades to a lilac color, and then it ends up as white.
Yes. I've got a bush just outside my window, so I get it. You know, every time there's a slight breeze, I get the saltiness mixed with the yesterday, today, tomorrow coming in, which is really, really lovely.
Well, that must be such a nice, pleasing, relaxful sort of fragrance.
Definitely, yeah. Okay, now you're making me reminisce almost about getting home and smelling my plant again. Not my plant, it's in our communal garden, but I'm lucky enough to have it just outside my window.
Yeah, and to enjoy it, yes.
All right, so Epsom salts, what else? Just whilst we're talking about salts, I found out recently, you know, growing up in Pietermaritzburg, one of the things I noticed was that there were a lot of snails in our garden.
Yes.
And my dad would sprinkle salt. Does that really help?
The coarse salt, yes, definitely. The coarse salt will be better than the fine salt. And it definitely deters snails. So it will definitely help. But one must be careful to not do it too often. Salt, that is sodium, will build up in the soil and it can have a negative effect on your plant if you use too much of sodium around your plants. But it definitely helps for snails. So if you do it once a month, then it shouldn't be a problem.
Okay. All right. That's a good thing to learn as well. I remember very clearly my dad sprinkling a lot of salt around certain parts of the garden because we used to have quite a bit of the snails, especially during the spring, summertime.
Yes, definitely. That I'm going to talk about more on next week, how to use your common household items for pest control. I'm also looking very forward to next week's topic.
All right. So we've got more strange ones coming up?
Yes. You'll use coffee grounds. I simply love coffee and I do percolated coffee in my coffee machine all the time. And so those used coffee grounds is a good source of nitrogen in the soil. And also it adds phosphorus and potassium. So it also boosts synthesis, and if you boost photosynthesis, of course your plants will grow quite nicely. So what you can do is you apply the coffee grounds. You can just sprinkle it around your plants. It takes a little while to basically break down further, or you can simply just soak the coffee grounds overnight. And then add the coffee water to your plants as a good nitrogen or phosphorus and potassium sort of boost to it. Also, the coffee grounds you can add to your compost heap as well. So instead of throwing out all those coffee grounds and coffee beans, add it to your garden. Or add it in your compost heap. If you have enough of it, you can actually use it as a mulch as well. But with my experience, I don't get enough of the coffee grounds to use as a mulch. But I'm sure if you stop by a coffee shop and ask coffee shop owners if you can help them to dispose of the coffee grounds, they will be quite pleased to do that instead of throwing it in the bin.
So are there any sort of like particular plants that would prefer, like maybe the coffee grounds? Now, is there a particular plant that would, you know, sort of like get greater benefit from it?
All plants in general will get great benefit because all plants use nitrogen, phosphorus and potassium in quite large quantities.
Okay.
So, yes, it's a... No specific plants. You can use it all in general. And if you like, Anisha, if you like that coffee smell in your flat, around your pot plant inside.
Okay, I definitely do like that.
And then let's go to the tea drinkers. Don't throw away your tea bags. The tea bags will also, or tea, also add the same richness as coffee to your garden. You can make a garden tea with your tea bags. Again, soak it overnight and water your plants the next day. Your plants will take up the nutrients in the water form much quicker. But then also you can break open your tea bags, let it dry out, and then you sprinkle your tea leaves also around your plants. Very excellent fertilizer as well.
Yeah, and I know my mom used that for her ferns.
Yes, it's excellent for ferns and those sort of plants, but any plant will benefit from your tea leaves as well. And our own rooibos, which is indigenous to South Africa, also makes an excellent fertilizer. Use rooibos tea the same way as what you would use your other Ceylon tea. And then your green tea. I don't have a taste for green tea myself, but I know there's people out there that simply love the green tea. Again, the green tea leaves, instead of throwing it out after you've used it, add it to your compost heap or sprinkle it around your plants. Very excellent for as a fertilizer for your plants.
Okay. Well, green tea is one of my favorites. I love green tea. It's the only tea I think I drink. I don't like tea in general, but green tea is one of my favorites, so I will remember to use the leaves instead of throwing them away.
Definitely is. Add it to your plants.
People would think I have like a whole forest inside my apartment. I think I have two pot plants.
Well, when you add your green tea leaves and use all these tips that I'm sharing with you, I'm sure that those two will multiply into a mini forest for you.
Astrid, we'll have to invite you over to my place and you'll see why I can't afford to have a mini forest in my apartment. But anyway, I'd love to have a little more, a few more plants soon, herbs in particular. But let's take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk more about some of these interesting ideas that you have for fertilizers using our household items. Assalamu alaikum. You're listening to The Gardening Show here on the early morning show, a Sunday morning show on Radio Islam International. My name is Anisa Isaac, and my guest, our Sunday resident guest, I can call her that now, is Astrid Badenhorst. She's a horticulturist at DUT here in Durban. And if you'd like to pose a question with regards to gardening, you're welcome to do so. The number 011-854-1548, or maybe you'd prefer to send us a text message, then you can use WhatsApp, and the number for that would be 084-030-9955. That's 084-030-9955. And we are talking about fertilizing your garden and using your household items. And we've had some really quirky ones that have come up this morning. morning, like coconut husks and coconut water, as well as coconut powder, as well as Epsom salts, coffee grounds, green tea leaves or rooibos tea, or even your plain old normal tea leaves, whether it's Earl Grey or just your plain old Trinco Joko Glen tea bags. And all of these can be used to make your garden a much more fertilized place, as we can call it, and giving your plants, keeping them healthy. Astrid, before we go on, one of our regular listeners, Brother Eunice, has asked me to check with you. If a lithrop shrivels up, is it too much water or is it underwatering?
What is happening?
A lithrop.
I hope.
Yeah. It's either it's shriveling up. Could it be due to too much water or too little water?
Okay. Both can actually shrivel it up. So I'm not sure his watering practices, but if the stem is spongy and soggy, then it's too much water. Also, you must check the soil basically and see if the soil is constantly damp. Then it's too much water. Too much water can cause root rot, and root rot then can prevent water from being sucked up by the plant, and that's why the leaves will dry. Okay? If the stem is like dry and brittly, then it is too little water. Also check the soil and see. Because too little water, then your plant will dry up totally. So I hope I've helped.
Okay. And then he's got a second question, and I hope I'm going to say this name correctly. I think it's spathilliums. Are normally sold in 15-centimeter pots, large ones. That is, can I repot it to a 35-centimeter pot?
The best practice is to go one size pot up, but yes, 35 centimeter won't be too big for it if it's coming out of 15 centimeter. Don't go larger than a 35 centimeter pot.
Okay, and then I've got Sister Fatima who's also asking, how do you mix the Epsom salts? Is it 1 tablespoon to 5 liters of water? I think that was the coconut powder, right?
Yes, but Epsom salts as well.
Okay.
1 tablespoon to 5 liters of water.
Okay, there we go. And how often can you water with it? And that's another question.
You can do it once a week if your plants are looking very tired and yellow until it starts to improve. And then you do it every second week.
Okay, and then she's got another question, and this is with regards to her fuchsia. They are in a hanging basket, but they have tiny black ants on the stem. Should she be concerned about this?
Yes, definitely. Ants are... Sorry, just my voice is going a bit.
Mm-hmm.
excuse me for that.
No problem.
Yes, ants and aphids lives in symbiosis, so they are buddy-buddy. If you have ants all over your plant, soon after you will notice aphids, and aphids sit and they are really bad for plants. So, yes, you should be concerned and start treating her fuchsias or spraying the fuchsias with a good insecticide to control the ants.
Okay, perfect. So she needs to sort that out with regards to the ants, because ants means aphids, right?
That's correct. If it's around your plants, then ants means that you will have aphids very soon.
Okay. All right. So that's interesting to know for anybody who has a fuchsia, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So if you have ants, just remember to sort that out, because there's a possibility that you could end up with having aphids as well in your plants. All right. So we go back to the fertilizer, and we stopped at Epsom salts.
Yes. Yes, we stopped at
coffee grounds, actually.
The coffee grounds and the tea, tea leaves, yes, that's what we were talking about before the break. Bananas. Everybody loves bananas. So instead of throwing the banana peels out in the dirt, put the banana peels in your compost heap, or you can just put it in your garden, or when you plant your plants, throw a few banana peels in your planting hole. It's very high in potassium.
Potassium, yes.
Yes, and also magnesium. So bananas is very, very good for your plants. What you can do also is to put like two or three banana peels in a glass jar, pour water over it, and leave it for 2 to 7 days. And then you use that water, dilute it with in a watering can, one of those big watering cans.
Yes.
And you just water your garden with that, the nutrients in there, the potassium and calcium and magnesium, will then be immediately available to your plants.
That's quite interesting.
Yeah, the leftover peels you can put in your compost heap or just put it around your plants as well.
If sometimes, you know, you buy bananas and things like that and you don't get to eat them and you instead of wasting, you find that they've gone too brown to even make a loaf with, so you can do the same, am I right?
Yes, you can do the same with the whole banana, definitely.
Okay, instead of wasting that because it's good for your plants and at least you know that your money isn't really being, it's not being thrown away. You're recycling it.
That is right. When you use your bananas that have gone totally brown and can no longer eat, instead of just putting it around your plants, add some soil on top of it. That will prevent these small flies from gathering in your garden.
Okay. I've got another question from Brother, but I'm not sure whether he says, do you cover the glass jar? I think he's referring to the bananas.
You just close it. You leave the glass jar. It actually needs light to activate the decomposing of the bananas in the water.
Okay,
so you don't cover the glass jar, you just close it tight.
Okay, so you do put a lid over it, so that the sun can get to it, or light.
Or light can get to it,
yeah. All right, so we've got quite a few things, banana peels, and then anything else? I'm sure the rest of your plant matter as well, from, you know, the skins of other plants, fruit rather, and vegetables like we discussed a little earlier.
Definitely, you can put it in your compost heap as such. If you put too much fruit or just around your plants, it first needs to decompose. And it's best to decompose it on your compost heap first and then add it to your plants. When things decompose, there's a whole chemistry actually happening in your soil. And what happens, you get this, what we call your soil microbes, your good soil microbes, basically consisting of bacteria, but those are your good bacteria. And when you add fresh organic matter to your soil or just put it on top of your soil and it decomposes, these bacteria use it as a food source, and it actually takes up the nutrients first, especially nitrogen. It takes that up first while they are decomposing the leaf matter and so forth. And for that period, your nutrients is now not available to your plants.
Okay.
And that's why it's better to actually compost a lot of this organic material like your vegetable peels, your leaf clippings, it's best to compost it a little bit first and then add it as a compost to your soil. For some reason, banana leaves works a little bit, or banana peels works a little bit differently.
Okay. All right, so we've got quite a number of things. I think we've got, let's start from the beginning quickly. We started off with coconut, which was really, I'm quite amazed by that because I know how good it is for the human body. So I didn't think about using it for my plants, but there we go. We have coconut. We've got bananas and their skins. We've got coffee, tea.
Coffee, yeah, ground coffee.
Yeah. Coffee grounds, tea leaves, and then we've also got Epsom salts and, see, I've already forgotten some of them.
The water that you boil your potatoes.
Oh, yes, your potatoes, yes, your veggie. Basically, the stock that you would make for your soups, if you've got maybe too much, you can use that. Otherwise, you know, if you're not going to use it for that purpose, then you can use it in your garden as well.
Exactly.
I've got another question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Can I sprinkle fertilize earthworm castings to my soil now? Does it have to be dug in?
No, you can just put it on top. It makes a good mulch as well as an excellent, excellent fertilizer.
Okay, what's earthworm castings? I'm not sure if I want the answer to that, but I'm going to ask anyway.
Yes, that will make a very good future topic. It's a wormery that you use. You actually cultivate earthworms, like you would make your compost heap, but you add these earthworms to it, and they decompose the organic matter, and of course leave these little castings that that's excellent compost. And also fertilizer, and it's very good for your soil. And also, when you do your wormeries, there's a liquid coming from the whole process, and this. Do you?
We lost you there for a bit, Astrid.
Okay, where did you lose me?
You said castings, and then that was it. We just kind of lost you.
Hello, Anisha.
Yeah, we kind of lost you there for a bit. Astrid, can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
Okay. We lost you for a bit. You were speaking about castings. You said something about castings?
Yes, the earthworm castings, which makes a very high nutrient-rich fertilizer for your garden. So these are wormeries that you start with earthworms. You also get a special type of red earthworm that you can. And you actually use all your kitchen waste and kitchen scraps, like your vegetable peels and all of that. And this earthworm turns it into this very rich fertilizer.
Okay.
And you can add your coffee grinds and your banana peels, your tea leaves, and all of that you can add to your wormery. And the end result is your earthworm castings, which is a very good fertilizer, as I mentioned before. And also you get a liquid from this wormery. And I would like to call it a liquid gold because it's excellent for your garden. And you dilute it with water, say 1 cupful in 5 liters of water, and you just water your garden with this liquid gold, and it just makes magic in your garden, plant food is concerned.
All right. Well, we've got just about 7 minutes left. So if you have any more questions that you'd like answered, you can call us on 011-854-1548, or you can send us a text on 084-030-9955. And if you do have suggestions for topics, something that you maybe want to ask to cover for you, you're most welcome to send those to me as well on 084-030-9955, and I'll pass them on to Astrid so we can chat about those. those for you as well. And any questions that you may not get the time to send to us whilst the show is still on. Astrid, okay, let's go through. Do you have any more?
Oh, yes, there's two things that I absolutely have to mention. Mm-hmm. The one is your braai. We all like to braai in South Africa. Uh-huh. So your wood ash from your braai, don't throw that away when it's cooled. You can use it in your garden. It's a good source of, again, potassium, calcium and carbonate. So don't throw away your wood ash from your braai. Add it to your garden. And then, of course, eggshells. Very, very good source of calcium as well. So the eggshells, I know eggshells can smell a bit, but after you've cracked your egg, rinse it, and then you can break it up and use it as sprinkle it around your plants. The eggshells will take time to decompose. If you want a quicker result, you can actually blend your eggshells into a powder, and you can keep this powder in a container and then just sprinkle it around your plants, say, every second week as well.
Okay, so that's giving your plants a little bit of calcium nourishment as well.
That's
okay,
right,
so yeah, that I know about that as well. I used to see my mom do that as well. She'd put it also on her ferns. And I will be very honest in saying that we had beautiful ferns hanging all over our veranda in our lounge, because my mom would always be tending to these things. You know, at the time when you're young, you don't see the benefit of all of that. You just look at them and you think, oh God, not another plant. But as you get older, you see the value in these things and the beauty as well. Astrid, you know, it's the one thing that I wanted to ask you is bone meal. Can that be also added? You know, sometimes you find that you end up with a bit of you know, like the meal from if you have pets, and you usually get some. Can you put that into your compost heap as well?
Definitely,
it's quite smelly though.
It's very smelly, but it's also an excellent source of calcium and magnesium as well, and phosphorus. Very good source of phosphorus, yes.
And then Brother Eunice, okay, carry on, I'll ask you this quickly when you're done. Brother Eunice wants to know, braai charcoal, is it a no-no?
Charcoal is a no-no, unfortunately. Wood is the thing to use, so the wood ash is much better than the charcoal.
Okay. And thank you very much for that. That's a thank you coming from Sister Fatima, who says thank you for the valuable time in educating us. Yes, we all appreciate that from you. Thank you very, very much. So let us end for today. And hopefully next week we're going to be talking, you said, about?
Household, more or less the same. But how to use all these items for pest control.
Okay.
Pest control also to control weeds in your garden, seeing that we're getting into spring and the weeds are springing up all over the place.
Uh-huh. All right, that would be very interesting. I'd like to find out what you're going to come up with, because I'm still trying to get around this whole coconut water thing, and I really didn't think about putting it in my plant. But thank you so much for that. I will definitely, during our summer months, and I'll be feeding my plant a bit of coconut water to refreshen it up as much as the water does give me that refreshing feeling as well. So thank you, and have a lovely week ahead, and we'll speak to you again next week.
Thank you so much, and thank you to the listener Fatima for finding the show so interesting. And yeah, have a good week ahead yourself.
All right, thank you.